Welcome to Catspina Music. Sing ho. Won't you play it loud? Don't you turn it down? Sing ho. I welcome to the show Engaging the Muse, Kat Calabresi, singer-songwriter. And what I always find so interesting in developing this podcast series is how did I meet this person? And Kat today is actually the first guest of mine who I met via social media. And I thought it was just the coolest thing when I had put out a single that I was liked at random by somebody who actually lives in the hometown of my best friend, Christina, in Ohio. And I just thought it was a wonderful way to connect and learn about what another creative is doing. So thank you so much for being a part of this series, Kat Calabresi. So Kat, if you want to get started with, when did you start singing? What actually has been your process?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And likewise, communicating and connecting via social media is really just an awesome experience. I'm so happy to do this with you. Back to your question. So my entire life, I loved music. I started playing piano when I was 6 years old. But funny enough, when it came to singing, no one ever heard me sing. It was something that I loved to do more than anything. But I always kept it really, really secretive. I was very, very self-conscious, wondering whether or not the voice that I heard when I spoke was the same that everyone else would hear. And a lot of that kind of kept me in my own way for a really, really long time, actually up until the time that I was 27. I'm 30 now. So about 3 years ago, I met someone. We connected immediately through music. I felt, maybe because I didn't know him very well, I felt like, okay, maybe I can start to share the fact that I do love to sing as well as play piano. So basically, cut to me sending him a really, really rough cover of a song that I recorded of myself at the piano. And I was like, you know, just be gentle when you listen to it, especially because it was someone that I also liked. And so I felt like I was putting myself out there, you know, twofold with music and also with my emotions. And so he heard it and was a musician himself, and he loved what he heard. And kind of from there, we started dating as well as working in a musical group together. We created a band together, and that's kind of how this journey took off. So it was like from zero to 60. And I remember, funny enough, the first time I played my mom a song that he and I wrote together, she didn't know who she was listening to. She was like, Who is this girl? And I'm like, well, that's me. And it just goes to show how much of a secret I had kept it, and unnecessarily so. So fortunately, connecting with this person allowed me to finally, after 27 years, get out of my own way. And just when I did that, everything clicked for me. Like, it was like this big piece of my life that I knew had been missing for so long, but I was finally able to now like get over that hump of like being afraid to do it. And then once I did it, it was all I wanted to do.
And now, were you continuing to play piano in, you know, and that was sort of what you were doing and people knew about that? What was the journey there with your instrument? Were you studying that formally or did you teach yourself?
So when I started, when I was six, I was taking lessons and continued lessons all the way up through high school. I used to take lessons with a woman. She kind of taught me from scratch, and she had a career in piano, and then just taught students out of her home. And then once I got to be, I want to say about 15, realized I had kind of outgrown that process. And she recognized it as well. It was kind of like she had taken me as far as I could go, but it was time for me to kind of challenge myself a little bit more, and ended up going to the Baldwin Wallace Conservatory to take lessons there from 15 to 18. So everyone knew about piano. That was no secret. And it was something I'm classically trained. And so I didn't realize actually how limiting that training was when it came to my own music and my own songwriting. I was taught to play a piece of music, and everything from obviously the notes to the expression is determined for you based on the composer, and you are supposed to play it as perfectly as possible. So there is no room for improvisation, which is vital when it comes to songwriting and the creative process. So my piano, I think, definitely helped me just to become more musically adept. But when it came to songwriting, it has actually not supported me as much as I would hope. So my ex, who I created Rule of Young with, our group, he was the one that always played the piano because he was self-taught. And I always believed and still believe he was much more versatile because of that than I could be. So I wrote songs, but I did it very unorthodox, where I would come up with it a cappella. And then he would help me to arrange it. Or we would write together, or he would start with something and then I would come in later. Just kind of depended. So it definitely helped me. But I have actually never played piano while performing or recording.
I can really relate to what you're saying, because I actually learned my instruments a bit later. Singing was what I started off with. So I was about 8 years old, and I just started off with going to a talent show audition, and the rest has been this journey and this history. But it was really important for me when I was a teenager, when it was something I really wanted to dive into songwriting. So I took up the instruments. Then when I decided to go to New Paltz for music therapy, it was then I started to really understand improvisation, learning the jazz perspective, and that combination of the classical and the jazz to make pop music really made more sense. Also, knowing a little bit from our conversation of recent, you have been taking vocal lessons. So what's that been like, and who are you working with?
It's been incredible. I actually had my lesson yesterday. I have it every Saturday. And I'm working with, his name is Tim Moon, and he is actually, he runs the studio where I recorded, starting with Rule of Young and continued to record at Superior Sound Studios in Cleveland. So he runs that studio. He is a incredible performer and musician, and he actually has played piano on my latest project. So he has kind of taken the place of that component when I was with the group, where he's helped with the arrangement. And it's been incredible. And vocal lessons have been just wonderful, because when I was singing growing up, I would always try to just emulate what I heard and just whoever was singing and try to kind of almost mimic them. And so now learning, essentially, you know, your voice is a muscle that needs to be worked. It needs to be practiced. It also needs to be preserved and made sure that you're doing things healthily and the smart way. So it's been amazing already. It's been about, I'd say, about 6 weeks. I started vocal lessons after the project. His ability to just explain something, and then just the way, you know, you move your jaw, the way that you express with your eyebrows, and it's just all these things that you never think about. And so it's already been something that I can definitely hear a difference. And it's exciting, because one of the things he said to do is pick a song that you can't sing, that you want to sing. And this way we'll figure out what actually is your limit versus just what is underdeveloped that can be worked on. So it's been really, really fun, just like any type of workout or practice where you see what you could do where a week before you couldn't. So it's really exciting to see that progression. And, you know, just if ever I perform again live once COVID, you know, dies down, to see that kind of come through, and in also my future recordings, just to really get the most out of my voice. So it's been a wonderful experience so far.
The other idea is I've been really interested by some documentaries, one being Lady Gaga, for example, and to see that behind the scenes, your training. You are in this. You have to prepare. In regards to listening to the Rule of Young and the music that you created there, I heard a lot of harmonies and I heard a lot of other vocal layering. With some of the newer tracks, I'm not quite sure if they're done, but is working on stacking vocals and going through all the different contours of your voice something that you're working on with this next project?
It is. With Rule of Young, I'm glad that you pointed that out. That was one thing that we prided ourselves upon, was the way that our voices really meshed well together harmonically. And it was something that my ex that I worked on the project with, he was very harmony driven. He loved the sound of it and the effects of it, and I did as well. And so fortunately with that project, it was one thing that we always tried to make the center of our sound. So as I'm going into the project on my own, it's slightly different in the sense that the sound that I am cultivating now is definitely more me. It's something that I just, when it comes to the artists that inspire me, artists that I admire their writing abilities, I feel that that inspiration is coming out more in these songs now because I'm in the driver's seat. And so one of the things that I'm not as heavily focused on now are the harmonies. I'm more interested in the production development and really trying to kind of harness the pop sound that I want, that I didn't feel that I had before. So definitely there was some layering and some harmonies, but not nearly as much in this project. Lots of doubles. I love doing doubles. I think it's just a really great way to make it sound full. And so I think there is a time and place for the harmonies that will come in depending on the type of song, but I like having the variability a little bit more in this project where it's not necessarily always that same structure as I found it to be with Rule of Young.
Yes. I understand from that material too, it actually infuses a bit of that singer-songwriter duo, the combo of building those harmonies. But it is interesting that you bring up the point about how the production is going to basically steer the vocal a little bit more, because this last project that I was working with a producer who more or less writes a lot for TV film. So it's just like, get it done, cut the track in like 2 hours and move on. So it's very interesting because I was minimal in the amount of vocals, but the doubling and some of these little innuendos and sparse, almost sampling my voice, like an Imogen Heap, you know, just taking a little piece of a high note and then creating a sample from that. So it's very interesting that you bring up that point and the independence that you're gaining, the ability to produce what you're doing from, like you said, being in that driver's seat. So in naming, you had mentioned listening to some other artists. Who are some of those artists that you're listening to for some inspiration?
My taste ranges. It's very broad spectrum. I love everything from, one of my favorite bands is Jimmy Eat World. But then I go all the way to the other end. I love The Weeknd. I've been a fan of his since before he was really on the commercial map. Back in like 2010, 2011, I started to pay attention to him, not just sonically, but lyrically in particular. When I listen to a song, regardless if it is an artist that I know or an artist I don't, my mind automatically goes to listening to the lyrics first. And so in particular, his lyrics really caught my attention and they were just so powerful. And then being able to put them behind these really just incredible beats and his progression as an artist has been just so fun to watch. So he's definitely one. I also adore Halsey. I think, again, if not primarily the reason I love her so much is her writing ability. An artist that can sing their own songs and is a poet first and foremost, and then the ability to then put those lyrics to incredibly memorable and catchy melodies is just, you know, that's the dream, right? So she is one. And then my ultimate goddess is Demi Lovato. I am such a fan of hers. I fell in love with her after her 2016 documentary. And her voice is just not of this world. It's just unbelievable, her ability to write and then also be so honest and vulnerable with her personal struggles. And also just the production, kind of it's pop, but there's a little bit of like R&B at times. There's even a little bit of hip hop depending on the song. So I love the fluidity that not just she, but so many artists have now, right? Genre is really so non-specified anymore, which is so great. And I love seeing all of these artists kind of combine the genres into this new sound. So those are just a handful of some of my favorites.
It's always very hard to step outside of ourselves as a vocalist, as you know, with your journey and keeping it secret. But there's a lot of times for independent artists, the idea of, well, who do you sound like? Not right. being known, there needs to be some sort of a reference point. And I could hear those elements, but you still sounding like you. And so you're really getting to those elements. And talk about some of the advice you got from your vocal instructor to attack one of her songs. Could be a yes. great exercise. And I might call dibs on a duet and we do Sorry Not Sorry.
Oh my gosh, that song, so good. If you're ever looking for inspiration or like, you know, just a little bit of incentive to like have the conversation you've been afraid to have or make the move you're afraid to make, listen to that song and you will feel like you can lift a car.
Pretty much. And yeah, I noticed some of your covers on YouTube as well, and that's really a great place to learn and grow and work on your writing. So as I say to many of my guests, there's always going to be an opportunity for us down the road. I can feel it. So
absolutely. I'm in.
Love that. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about this latest project and how you have evolved from where you were with the band to this independence?
Yes. It has been a whirlwind, to say the least. It's been, I was actually just looking at my calendar yesterday and realized it's been 3 months and a day since basically life as I knew it ended, more or less. With my ex-boyfriend, who I created the band with, we were together about 2 years. He is a doctor. So we were actually going to relocate to Los Angeles. It was a very long, you know, very intense decision. Everyone was on board, really excited. And about a week before we were supposed to leave, he called me and said it was over. You know, it was like, I've had heartbreak before, but this was something different. And I was just destroyed. So I went through about a week or so and I started to stop being sad and I got angry, right? And anger can be really, really useful when you use it constructively. And so I felt like all control had been taken away from me. And so I was kind of just sitting with myself, really isolating. And I was like, okay, what do I still have control over? I have control over what comes next. And so one of the first places I called was my studio. That place is home for me. It is my sanctuary. It is where everything falls away. As soon as I walk in that door, I feel like nothing hurts, right? There's just like, it's like the outside world doesn't exist. It's just an incredible place to be. And so I was like, what better way to figure this out than by doing music, right? I felt so dependent on him in so many ways when it came to the music. And more or less, he kicked me out of the nest with both feet, you know, and it was like, okay, you have no choice now but to do this on your own. So I called the studio, I explained the situation, and I said, look, I don't have my song arranger anymore, so what do I do? And I've had such a great relationship with that studio. Tim, my vocal coach again, he's like, we can make this work. So I started meeting with Tim for pre-production once a week, like for about a month following up to our actual production date. At this point, about 5 weeks has gone by. So it's not a lot of time. I had some, about two of the songs that are on the project were ones that I had in my back pocket for a couple of years that I really always wanted to do, but never had the opportunity. And I was like, okay, this is perfect because these songs, I always loved them. And even 2 years removed from them, I still felt like they were relevant to me. And then, obviously with inspiration pouring out of me, I wrote and wrote and wrote. And a few of the other songs came to life just post breakup. And then my good friend and also my co-producer, his name is Dorian Martin. He's on one of the tracks with me. He's an incredible rapper. We had met about a year previously, and he wanted my ex and I to do a feature on one of his beats. And I had written the melody, I'd written the lyrics. So I was like, well, it's okay for me to kind of take this and run with it because nothing happened with it. So I just basically, it was amazing how much my circle increased, even though I lost the most important person in my life, being forced to make every decision on my own and being forced to learn. I just connected with so many people in the music community. And I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to figure it out because what else can I do? And music means too much to me to just let it die. And also, as much as I will always be grateful for Roll of Young, it was never necessarily the sound that I personally identified with. You know, just like any group, there is compromise and you have to kind of find that common ground. And it will, I will definitely say it was more driven by my ex's vision than my own. And I was just so happy to be there, you know, and so happy to be singing and performing. I just didn't really think about who am I as an artist. And so now being on my own, it was like, okay, you have carte blanche to do the way you want to do. And it's been really amazing just following my instincts and seeing things happen. In the last 3 months, more has happened with music than in 2 years. So it's been a whirlwind, like I said. In 3 months, it feels like it's been 10 years when I think of everything that's happened. We recorded 5 songs in 10 days, and I am coordinating the first release early next year, and it's been life-saving, to be honest, but also just makes me feel like more than ever, music is what I'm supposed to do. So everything that happened, it was supposed to happen, because without that, I wouldn't be here, and I will pick music over everything any day of the week.
I love that.
Thank you.
And just to know that it's just a matter of picking up the pieces. There's always a choice. And one of the biggest things I kept saying to myself during times of those heavy, heavy winds blowing is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Absolutely.
And it was always that little part at the end of that is the wisdom to know the difference. And if we don't listen to ourselves at the end of that experience that we went through, and we continue to go through and try to recreate it somewhere else, it just is a recipe for disaster. And coming back to yourself is just the most beautiful thing. Do you have a title for this project, by the way? Is there a name for the album?
I don't, because my plan is to release the songs one at a time. In my 2 years of learning how to push singles, I believe in these songs so much and I want them to do as well as possible that in order to make that happen, I want to lengthen the amount of time that these songs have lives in terms of listeners. So the best way to do that, and I've talked a lot about it with you know, my team at the studio and just also other artists, that push one song at a time. You know, push it as hard as you can, and then use any momentum that you've built from that to then introduce the next one. Ideally, I would love to release this as an EP, and maybe I will, you know, maybe I do push one or two and then I put it out. So at that point, I will definitely have to think of what that title would be, because all of the songs on this EP are about my ex. Some of them I wrote for him. They were love letters to him. Some were, you know, as we were together and I was writing, some of my subconscious slipped in and I didn't even realize how I was feeling at the time until I listened to the final mixes. And then one of the songs in particular is just my breakup note to him. That journey, I want to find the right word or phrasing to basically make the title basically tell that story of finding love, losing it, going through hell and coming back from it. So ideally that will happen. But right now just focusing on one at a time.
just knowing the nature of what you've gone through and how you are healing through music is such a powerful thing right now, more than ever. I think a lot of people in going through COVID and what we've experienced with this pandemic have been turning to their inner strength, to their creative outlets to get through it. And even though your voice was a secret to others, it's not a secret now, and it's never been a secret to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so glad. It's just tuning into whatever your passion is. It sounds so trite, but it's so true. I mean, it's just, it changes everything. It snapped my entire universe into focus. And I think in a lot of ways, as horrible as 2020 has been for everyone, frankly, I don't know anyone that's had a great year. It's forced us to go inward and slow down. And maybe some of those passions or interests that you just put off because you don't have, you know, you say you don't have enough time or just how busy things get, there's less of an excuse for that now. And so it gives you a great opportunity to use this time wisely if you so choose. And again, in a world that feels like all control is being taken from us, focus on what you can control. And if it's nothing else, it's what you do in a day, what comes next for you. And just focusing on those smaller goals, like what's going to make me feel better 5 minutes from now, you know, what's going to improve this month for me, and whatever that is, do it. You know, just get out of, my best advice is get out of your own way, because once you do, the whole world opens up.
I hear that. I absolutely hear that. And I so appreciate you and being a part of this, because I feel like we could talk for hours.
I totally agree with you. Yes, absolutely. Kindred spirits.
Yes. Well, I'm inspired by inspired people. I want to thank you so much today, Kat, for being a part of this series, Engaging the Muse. And I can't wait for the newest single to drop. And I will be sharing it, promoting it, and encouraging you along the way.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me. And it's so great to connect with someone, especially during this year, and just like-minded people. And I love our conversations and totally agree. We could talk for like 5 hours.
If you want to learn more about the process, creativity, and the journey, check out my website, katspinamusic.com. Thank you again for listening.